And turn with me to Acts chapter 16 this evening, Acts and chapter 16. And if you found your place there, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word, Acts chapter 16. And we're going to start here, verse number 22, and we'll go down to verse number 26. Acts chapter 16, verse 22, down to verse 26. And we're in the middle now of chapter 16, and in this chapter we are introduced to several characters, all of which we'll look at this evening. But man, how this chapter started was an understanding of how the Spirit of God moves us, how the Spirit of God directs us, how the Spirit of God guides us in our lives. And now, at the end of this chapter, man, how the Word of God confirms what the Spirit of God did. So, man, the early part of this chapter, how God got Paul to where he wanted to get him, man, through the Macedonian call, through the conflict with Barnabas, through all these open doors, closed doors, through this sickness, even the introduction of Luke into Paul's ministry, how the Spirit of God guides us. Man, and then as they determined which way to go, as they determined to follow the Lord, man, then they received this confirmation. And now, man, as they branch out into ministry, how the Spirit of God guided them. But now, at the end of this chapter, how the Word of God confirmed what the Spirit of God had led. And by the way, make note of that. God's Spirit will never contradict God's Word. God's Spirit will never contradict God's Word. So jumping in now, Acts chapter 16 and verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them. Man, that's a recurring theme in Paul's ministry. Opposition, right? The multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Use it, we ask, in our hearts and our lives. And in your Son's name we pray. And all the church said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Man, how the Spirit of God was guiding the Apostle Paul and Silas, how the Spirit of God was moving them, but how the Word of God was confirming this. And we see this evidenced in Paul's ministry experiences with a variety of people in this passage. We didn't read it, but we'll work our way through it. Man, it started in verse number 14. Man, they make their way into Macedonia. They begin preaching there. That's verse 12. That's verse 13. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Man, here, the Word of God confirming what the Spirit of God called Paul to. Man, how Lydia was blessed. How Lydia was blessed. And here is this woman who is evidently very successful. She's evidently very prosperous. She's the seller of purple. The Bible tells us that she comes from the area of Thyatira, which was known for their purple dye and how they were able to take that purple dye and put it into specific garments. Man, the garments that belonged to royalty, very expensive garments. And that's what Lydia was doing there in Macedonia. She was selling these garments. So she's obviously very prosperous, but there are some things that money cannot buy. Man, there's some things that money just will come up short of. And here's Lydia. Man, she was a believer in God, and man, she worshiped God, and man, she really wanted to know the truth about God. Man, she was very prosperous, she's very successful, and yet she was absent something in her life. She was missing significance in her life. She's very prosperous. She's obviously very prestigious. We understand that because she owns a home there in Thyatira. It would have been a large facility, large enough for the Apostle Paul and his ministry team to be able to fit inside. Man, but not just that, she was prepared. Man, here she comes in and she says she's ready to hear the word. Man, whose heart the Lord opened so that she attended unto the things which were spoken of by Paul. Listen, Paul could open the word, but only God could open her heart. Man, Paul could open the word, but only God could open the heart. And sometimes it's important to remember that when we're ministering to people, when we're speaking truth into people's lives, man, it's good for us to open the word of God, but only God can open the heart of that person. Man, only God can move the heart. We can speak to the ear. We can speak to the brain. Man, we can even speak to the emotion, but only God can open the heart. Man, she was prosperous. She was prestigious. She was prepared. Man, she received the word. She was baptized, verse 15. And then, man, here she is. She's persistent. Man, if you have judged me faithful. Man, if you examine my life, that's what she's saying. Put my life on the record if you have judged me faithful. But notice this, Lydia was blessed, but here Lydia is returning the blessing. Man, she was providing. She was providing. Man, if you want to know someone's heart, look into their wallet. Man, if you want to know what someone loves, look at what they spend their money on. Man, because what we spend our money on and where we invest, man, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Man, you're told on by what you spend your money on. And you can say, well, I love Jesus. But man, if we aren't giving to the work and the propagation of Jesus' message all around the world, man, then we're being told on. And this is this lady here, man, she was providing. Lydia was blessed, but here Lydia is returning the blessing. Man, Lydia, she was prosperous, she was prestigious, she was prepared, she was providing, she was doing all these things. Hey, listen, God has blessed you so that you and I might be a blessing to someone else. Man, God has given to us so that we might be able to give to those around us. And that's Lydia here. But man, it's not just Lydia that was blessed. Man, there's the girl that was bound. Man, look at verse number 16. And it came to pass that as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Man, and the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Wow. What a great ministry purpose right there, right? Man, this is our goal. This is our purpose, man, to show the way to God and to show the way of salvation. And just put yourself in the scene. Here's this little girl following these men around. These are the servants of the Most High. Wow. And here she does this night and day. She calls after them. Verse 18, and this did she many days. And then the text reads funny. Look at verse 18. But Paul, being grieved. That word grieved, literally, he was bothered by it. Paul, being bothered by this girl following him around and saying about him, he shows us the way to the Most High God. Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Man, there couldn't be a more firm contrast between the little girl bound and Lydia that was blessed. Man, the little girl was bound. She was down and out, and she needed Jesus. Lydia was blessed. She was up and out. She needed Jesus just the same. Man, the Word of God is what they all need in this situation. And here Paul delivers to this girl, man, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Man, when they realized there was no more money to be made. Man, when they realized, man, there's no more income coming in through this girl who has a spirit of divination. Literally, that translates the spirit of the dragon is how that actually translates into our understanding. Man, this girl has the spirit of the dragon on her, and now we can't make any more money off of her. Man, look what they say. Man, then these men, they brought Paul and Silas to the marketplace. And they, verse 20, and they brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Man, isn't that interesting? Man, they didn't exceedingly trouble that girl who they set free. They didn't exceedingly trouble Lydia, who they taught the word of God to. They didn't exceedingly trouble the jailer here at the end of the chapter. They didn't exceedingly trouble. No, they what they did was they messed up their tradition. They turned upside down their customs. And that's exactly what they say, verse number 21, and teach customs. Man, they teach tradition. They're doing things that we don't like. Man, they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. Man, Lydia was blessed, but she returned the blessing. The girl was bound, but by the word of God, the girl was released. Man, Lydia was blessed, but by the word of God, she returned the blessing. You come stay with me. Take up residence with me. Let me use what God has given to me and leverage it for the purposes of God in this region. Man, Lydia was blessed. She returned the blessing. The girl was bound. Man, she was released by the word of God. And now, number three, Paul was beaten. Paul was beaten. Look at verse 19. You can read it. You can sense it in the text. Man, they seized him. They grabbed him. They drew him. They drug him. They tied him up and they led him all the way to the center of the town. Man, when they saw that their cash flow had been converted. Oh, now we got problems with Paul and Silas. And here they go, dragging them to the center of town. Man, they seized them. They slandered them. Verse 20, verse 21. Man, all Paul did was give the word of God. All Paul did was bless the people that he came in contact with. All Paul did was uplift and encourage and help and preach the truth found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. And now, oh, this man causes our city much trouble. Man, this man causes our city much trouble. Man, they seize him, they slander him, they scourge him. Verse 22. Man, and they brought him to the magistrate, saying, these men, they do exceedingly trouble our city. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes, went off their clothes, and they commanded to beat them. So they didn't do this themselves. They did this to Paul and Silas. They ripped the clothes off of Paul and Silas, and then they lay the stripes to their back. Of course, the letter to the Corinthians, Paul elaborates on this beating, and Paul says, Of the Jews received I 5 times 40 stripes, save one. But Paul says, do the math. Paul says, I received 195 scars for preaching Christ. Man, I received 195 scars of the Jews. Of the Jews I received. Man, the people who were supposed to be God's people. Of the Jews I received 195 scars. And hasn't this been the pattern in Paul's ministry? Opposition, resistance, the stirring up of people against him. Man, people evilly affected against him. Man, remember in Lystra, there was a moment in Lystra where the people wanted to elevate Paul. Man, this guy, he's like the planets. Man, Paul, Barnabas, they're the sons of the planets. There was 1 minute in Lystra where they wanted to lift up Paul and Barnabas and they elevated them above everyone else. And yet Paul says at that moment, hey, sirs, I am like passioned, just like you. I'm nobody. body. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And then that religious crowd from Antioch came over and persuaded the people. And they go from lifting Paul and Barnabas up. Man, these guys are the best, to beating them the next minute, thinking and presuming them to be dead and leaving them outside of the city. Man, they seized them. They slandered them. They scourged him. Hey, make note, it wasn't the heathen, pagan crowd that was attacking Paul. Man, it was the religious crowd that was attacking Paul. Man, make note, it wasn't the pagan crowd that was coming at Paul. It was the churchgoers who were going at Paul. Man, they scourged him and they shackled him. They shackled him. Look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison. I picture this like somebody has their hands and somebody has their feet. You did this with Noah when he was little, brother Judge. You swing, one, two, and we're going to throw him in there. Throw him in, right? Man, I picture that happening. They cast them in. They threw them in. Man, they didn't just throw them into prison. They threw them into the middle of the prison. Man, look at verse 24. And having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. You can go study this for yourself and you'll read, man, this was the darkest part of the prison. This was the filthiest part of the prison. Man, it wasn't just dark, it was filthy, it was disgusting. Man, this is where they're keeping Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, who, by the way, what have they done? Oh man, they gave the gospel to Lydia. They blessed Lydia. Oh, but she returned the blessing. Man, they gave the gospel to this demon-possessed girl who was bound up with the spirit of the dragon. Oh, but they realized their cash flow had come dry. Man, their cash flow got converted. Man, now Paul's beaten, seized, slandered, scourged, shackled. Hey, hear me on this. They could shackle his person, but they couldn't suppress his spirit. Hey, they could tie his hands, but they couldn't silence his heart. Verse 25, and at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, at midnight, the darkest hour of his ministry, at midnight, already stoned, already slandered, already beaten, already having a personal confrontation with Barnabas, already having this painful condition wearing on him. And at midnight, the darkest hour of the night, they sang and gave praise unto God so that all the prisoners heard them. Man, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Man, here they are. They're seized, slandered, scourged, shackled. But make note of this one. They're singing. Man, they're still singing. Man, what a trial. Beaten up, left for dead, scourged, stripped naked in the middle of the town, whipped, scourged, beaten, man, wearing scars. And here they're locked into the innermost part of the prison, what we would understand as the dungeon. And there they are, locked in there. And what a testimony as they sang and as they sing praises and give word of thanks unto God. And I gotta ask this question, like, who brought that idea up? Like, at what point when you're laying there in filth and excrement and you're shackled up, you're tied up, man, you're sore, you're beaten, you're bloody, and here's Silas, like, was the little girl bothering you that much? I mean, were you so bothered by her that much that you had to go to this? Like, really? And Paul goes, yeah, let's just sing a song about it. I didn't really want to sing a song right now. Okay, well, how'd that conversation go? I don't know how it went, but it went, right? Man, and Paul says, let's just sing to God and give God praise. Man, strongly convicted at this point because so many times I can't sing and praise God, and I'm not in a midnight jail cell. I'm not locked in the dungeon. Man, so many times, so difficult to praise God with my word of testimony, and I'm not in a condition like this, and yet Paul and Silas in a condition like this, beaten. Hey, listen, but rejoicing.
Man, Lydia blessed, returning the blessing. The little girl bound, and now she was released. And here's Paul beaten, but rejoicing. Hey, listen, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Man, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, like always. Like even right now. With what you're going through, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How can Paul and Silas, how can they have this kind of response to the stripes, to the scourging, to the slandering, to the Jews hunting them? How can they rejoice in the middle of trials like this? Can I help you understand that? Here it is. Paul, when he writes the letter to the Philippian church, here's what he says: count it all joy knowing this. I mean, count it all joy knowing this. There are some things that you have to know. If you're going to have this kind of joy, there are some things that you have to know. When he says, count it all joy, it's an accounting term. He's saying, add it up in your life. You see, the biblical response of joy to whatever it is that we're going through, the biblical response to joy is not an emotional response. It's a mental response. It's pushing back from the emotions, from the feeling, from the hurt, from the wound. It's pushing back for a second and say, but let me add this up. So what you're saying is, man, I'm on my way to heaven and my sins are forgiven and my hope is sure and God is my Father and His Spirit lives in my heart and His Word sits on my lap. If I push back from the table and I count this up for a second, man, the biblical response of joy is not an emotion. The biblical response of joy is the mental working out of the ways that God has blessed you. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 12, but I would that ye should understand, brethren. But I would that ye should understand. I want you to come to know this. I want you, same idea. I want you to count this. I want you to add this up. I want you to put the mental exercise in and figure up the ways that God has blessed you versus the burden that you're going through. Man, I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things that have happened unto me have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. Man, we can rejoice so long as we stop and realize. Man, we can learn to rejoice regardless of the situation so long as we can stop and realize. Man, and we know, Paul would say into the Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to them that know God. To them that know God. Man, count it up, add it up, that you would understand it, that you would use your mental capacities to come to this understanding. Man, we know that God works all things together for good to them that love Him and to them that are called according to His purpose. Man, Paul was beaten, but Paul was rejoicing. And Paul was beaten, but Paul was rejoicing. Can I give you a couple ideas about this idea of being of going through difficult seasons, opposition? Man, when you go through opposition, it shows the desperation of the monster. Man, the beast is Satan, the snake is out to get them. He's trying to stop them. The spirit of the dragon, everywhere they go. Man, you read about this, the seven sons who are trying to cast out the demon, and the demon answers, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Right. This is true. Their ministry experience, it blipped on a spiritual warfare level. And sometimes when you go through difficult seasons, sometimes when you go through difficult things, man, sometimes it's a result of spiritual warfare. Sometimes it's not a result of spiritual warfare. Sometimes it is a result of spiritual warfare. Not every flat tire you get is a result of spiritual warfare. I got a flat tire. The devil must be out to get me today. No, it might be there was just nails in the driveway. Not every opposition is a result of spiritual warfare, but what we have to say from the scriptures is there is spiritual opposition and there is spiritual warfare. Man, it shows the desperation. Man, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Man, the church that is charging at the gates of hell, make no mistake about it, while you charge the gates of hell, there are wiles, there are fiery darts being shot in our direction. Man, it's the desperation. Man, it shows the desperation of the monster. Number two, it secures the validation of ministry. Opposition secures. It's a negative confirmation, but it secures. It's the negative confirmation that you are moving in the right direction. It's the negative confirmation that you are moving in line with God's word. Hey, listen, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. That seems like negative confirmation. As Jesus is saying, when you're hitting a wall, understand the reason you're hitting a wall is because I hit a wall as well. And if they crucified the Savior, what will they do to the servant? Man, it secures validation for ministry. Man, it also shares an identification with the Master. This is it. We'll be done. Shares an identification with the Master. Man, I wonder if Paul, while he was going through this, if Paul thought of Isaiah chapter 53. Man, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I wonder if Paul, 195 stripes, is thinking, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53. Jesus did this for me. I can do this for his name's sake. Philippians, that I may know him. That's what a lot of people say that. Man, I want to know God. Pastor, I want to know God, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto the image of his death. Galatians, I wear them as badges. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the sufferings of Christ abound in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Man, what does this teach us? It teaches us that our comfortable country club Christianity shows up nowhere in the New Testament. Where's the bearing about in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus? Man, this is an identification. It shares in the identification of who we are in Christ. I said that was the last one. That was not true. All right, here's the last one. Man, it signifies the indication of his maturity. A wise man receiveth reproof. How you respond in difficult circumstances says a lot about how mature you are in the Lord. How you respond in tough environments says a lot about what you understand the word of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord to be doing in your heart and in your life. Here's Paul, tough environment, more tough environment than any of us have ever been in. And here's the Apostle Paul, locked up in the inner dungeon, beaten, opposition, bearing about in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, singing praises and giving honor and glory to God. At midnight. If Paul can sing at midnight, certainly you and I can sing at our dark hours and on our dark days. If Paul can sing at midnight, certainly you and I can sing at our dark hours and during our dark days. Man, what did the word of God accomplish in Paul's life? Man, beaten, but rejoicing. Beaten, but rejoicing. Let's stand together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask you to use your word in our hearts and lives this evening. Mold us, shape us, and fashion us by it.